Today on Straight Talk Africa, some African presidents are shifting constitutional goalposts, while others are delaying elections so as to stay in power. Rwandan President Paul Kagame is the latest of leaders, such as Joseph Kabila of the Democratic Republic of Congo and Sassou Nguesso of the Republic of the Congo. Despite allegations that Kagame bent the rules, the Electoral Commission says that Rwandans overwhelmingly voted in favor of lifting term limits for the incumbent president. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, January 6th. I am Shaka Sali. A terrific and happy new year to you all.
Well, and happy new year to you, Shaka, and happy 2016 to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll talk about the passage and the reaction to the Rwandan constitutional referendum.
And coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on our topic through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. That's ahead on Straight Talk Africa. Hope you'll stay with us.
Thanks, Mariama. But first, democracy of an African country is being tested once again as another longtime head of state succeeds in changing the constitution to prolong his stay in power. Today, the spotlight is on Rwanda, where President Paul Kagame could potentially lead the Central African country until the year 2034. My colleague Esther Githui Ewart has more.
It comes as no surprise that Rwandan President Kagame, who has been the de facto leader for the last 20 years, would like to continue ruling the country for another decade or so. In a politically calculated move, Rwandans voted last month in a national referendum to support constitutional amendments to allow him to run for the top office again. And just 1 month before the referendum, the United States asked President Kagame to respect the Constitution and leave office when his term ends. John Kirby, spokesman for the U.S. Department of State.
We expect President Kagame to follow through on the commitments he has made previously to foster a new generation of leaders in Rwanda and to step down at the end of his current term in 2017.
The call, however, fell on deaf ears, and results indicate that 98% of voters supported the changes, which will potentially allow the 58-year-old president to rule the country for another 17 years. The move was quickly criticized by the U.S. In a statement, John Kirby said, quote, "The United States is deeply disappointed that President Kagame has announced his intention to run for a third term." The statement also said, quote, "We're particularly concerned by the changes that favor one individual over the principle of democratic transitions." And in what some analysts say may have been a response to his critics, President Kagame tweeted saying, quote, "There are quite many very disappointing things happening across the globe. We hope to carry our own burden and not be a burden to others." President Kagame joins a list of long-serving African leaders who are clinging to power, among them Denis Sassou Nguesso, Benin's Boni Yayi, Uganda's Yoweri Museveni, Zimbabwe's Robert Mugabe, and even the DRC's Joseph Kabila, whose mandate ends in November, but has yet to announce an election date, clearly stating he would not run again. Kagame has been at the helm since his ethnic Tutsi rebel army, the Rwandan Patriotic Front, ended the 1994 genocide by majority Hutu extremists, in which an estimated 800,000 people were killed, the majority of them ethnic Tutsis, in just 100 days. Unlike many heads of state in the region, Kagame enjoys countrywide support and is credited by many Rwandans as a champion of reconciliation, which has seen many ethnic Hutus and Tutsis living side by side 20 years after the genocide that shocked the world and deeply wounded and divided the country. Kigali has also emerged as an economic hub in the region, and Kagame's supporters are quick to point out the gains the country has attained during his long tenure. In a televised New Year message, President Kagame addressed the nation in Kinyarwanda, thanking them for allowing him to lead the country beyond 2017, saying, quote, "Given the importance and consideration you attach to this, I can only accept." Esther Githu Ewart, VOA News, Washington.
Thank you, Esther, for that report. Now, joining us here in our Washington studios is our distinguished guest, Major Robert Higiro, retired, but certainly, as you can see, not tired. He is a former Rwandan Army officer, and he currently serves as the Belgium Coordinator for Democracy in Rwanda Now. Well, I have to say that you're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thanks for having me.
And Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Shaka.
You're most welcome. And joining us from our London studios is Dr. Vincent Magombe, Director of Africa Inform International, a global network of African journalists and media practitioners. Well, Dr. Magombe, it's been a very, very long time since I last saw your beautiful face in our studios.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very glad to be back, Shaka.
And a happy new year to you.
A happy new year to you, but most of all to African people who need luck this time in 2016, some different type of life.
Thank you very much. And last but not least, Willis Sharita, a Rwandan-American blogger and activist on Rwandan issues. He joins us via telephone link from the U.S. city of Austin in Texas. Well, Willis, I have to say I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
Good afternoon, Shaka, and thank you very much for the invitation. It's an honor and a privilege to join in this very important discussion on my motherland.
It's very interesting because it's a very, very, very long time personally to have the opportunity not only to talk to you and to host you, but really to see you perhaps since the last days we were together in the city of the Angels, California.
We'll try next time I'm invited to make sure I make it to your studios. Any time you call upon me, I'll take it as an honor.
You're most welcome, my brother. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. Your country code is 1. Let me come to you, Robert, immediately. Your reaction to the referendum that allows, of course, President Major General Paul Kagame essentially to be in power, really, for a generation.
Yes. First of all, this is not the Rwanda I fought for. You did mention of the liberation of 1994 and what followed after that. I think the Rwandans deserve a better Rwanda. We did not fight for a president who is hanging on to power after owning everything in the country. Mm. And the divisive nature of the Rwandan society and the operation. And, you know, when we talk about the referendum of which has a result of 98%, by the way, the date that they set for the change of constitution, the referendum date, is the same date that President Habyarimana used. And it's amazing to see that history is repeating itself.
Really?
Yes.
But what about somebody who might tell you, Robert, yes, you did fight to liberate your country so that your people could have unfettered access to Rwanda again. But that when you look at President Kagame, you look at what has been written about him, recorded about him, you look at the recent referendum, no matter what you think, we're talking here, 98.4% of the registered voters coming out and actually voting yes. We did not see any evidence on the ground that suggested they were actually being forced to do so.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Rwanda, these numbers we see in Rwanda are actually determined by Mr. Kagame and the inner circle of RPF. And why do I say this? I have worked for this organization or system for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember far back in 2003, we're always given the percentage per district before the actual voting.
And who was giving it
from
to
the
you?
RPF, from the RPF secretariat. So we would know that this district is going to be having a such percentage in the voting, and the real voting we see in Rwanda is just a show to the Western world that there's democracy, you know? And actually, if an area is Hutu predominant, then it has to be 100%. If it's Tutsi predominant, then that's when they can have 98 or 99. All that is done, you know, to sell the image of Mr. Kagame. And there's a lot of proof to that, be it the elections that we had in 2010. The same thing happened. And look at what happened during the referendum. I mean, they announced the changes, the amendments to the constitution, and the elections go on after just 4 days. We are talking about a population of 12 million. How would you have actually explained the amendments? But it's because it's not necessary. The amendments are there, and the elections are staged to convince the donor countries that we are in democracy in Rwanda.
So what you are saying here is that under no circumstances is the Rwandan a stakeholder, a primary stakeholder in this electoral process?
Yes. Now, Kagame is a corrupt leader who has... There's massive corruption at the top in the country. And all these institutions, the government branches, the women we talk about in Rwanda, they are appointed, they are not elected. Yeah, so they have no say, they have to serve their master.
But if you talk about corruption, Kagame, you will be told by some of these international watchdogs, like Transparency International, for example, he yes. fares very well.
Yes.
The World Bank. He fares so well. His country seems to be clean when it comes to corruption.
Interesting. Because, you know, Makonene, the Transparency International Rwanda chapter was murdered because he reviewed the top corruption. And then after that, Transparency Rwanda International in Rwanda was taken over by the RPF and Kagame himself. So the figures they give, they feed the World Bank or IMF, they are totally corrupted. And look at the World Bank. Look at the recent World Bank report. Rwanda is far lower than Uganda or Tanzania when it comes to private sector investment. They are actually, even when you go to public investment, they are even lower than Burundi. But what does that mean? It is because Rwanda is depending entirely on the aid from the donor countries. And so the private sector is actually owned by Mr. Kagame and his clique through Crest Ventures and even some other entities.
Do you have any impeccable documents about that?
I have, and I'm appealing actually to the donor countries. I'm here. As in democracy in Rwanda now, we have evidence, enough evidence, to show to the donor countries that they're actually helping Rwanda, thinking they're helping Rwandans, but the money that is sent to Rwanda is actually ending up in somebody's arms, which is President Kagame. And we are here, we are saying that we have the evidence, and if they want to tackle this issue, they want to look into the corruption I'm talking about, I'm ready to help.
Time is not our best ally, unfortunately. Now we'll pause for a short break, and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka, that's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOARwanda, referendum or Rwanda referendum. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
Let's take a quick look at the Rwandan constitutional referendum. On December 17th, 98% of voters cast their ballots in favor of amending the constitution. President Paul Kagame can now potentially remain president until 2034, nearly 35 years after he officially came to power. The amendment also cut the presidential term from 7 years to 5, but maintained the two-term limit. The amendment change stipulates the new rules will not begin until 2024, and that President Kagame can now run for a third 7-year term in 2017.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on the Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at www.voanews.com/African Beat.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Yes, we are back, of course. This is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Good evening, Dr. Magombe. Dr. Magombe, can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly. I can hear you.
I hope that you were following your fellow panelists' response. Let me ask you a question.
Yes, please.
What about you, your reaction to the referendum in Rwanda that essentially guarantees, in fact, that Kagame may very well be the next president for Rwanda for a generation at least?
Well, first of all, I must say my colleagues, Rwandese people, are best placed to comment specifically about Kagame and Rwanda. I think that this is important for me as a Ugandan because it has reverberations. It has sort of cross-country impacts that we can see and we can comment on. So, for example, you know, we talk about Kagame going for this third term and perhaps afterwards take away the limits, you know, forever. The godfather in the region, the godfather of third term is Mr. Museveni of Uganda. He's the one who started it. And in fact, let me just tell you what I've been hearing from sources within Uganda and across the region. They say if Museveni wasn't there today, perhaps Kagame wouldn't be doing what he's doing, Kabila wouldn't be doing what he's doing, because he's almost like a godfather. They are all looking at him saying, well, if Museveni can do it, if Museveni can stay in power this long and is trying to continue now after 30 years, then why should we give up?
It is very interesting because you remind me of an analogy where someone once said that in such a situation, then Museveni would be the tutor and Kagame perhaps would be the pupil?
Actually, it's more than that. It's not just the tutor. The tutor is a wonderful word. It's a kind word. He's the enforcer. He's the emperor, the regional emperor. We have seen he has used force in Rwanda, force in Congo, force in South Sudan, and so on. And all these places, he's going there to try and establish non-democratic sort of visions. Now, let me tell you, first of all, as far as I'm concerned, referendums like this are just what you call, just like the elections themselves that we hold. We held them in Uganda several times, referendum and so on. They're just politically engineered electoral fraud. You know, I don't want to go into this idea of how many numbers, because, you know, when a dictator is in power, you know, always, as my friend from Rwanda said, they just say, well, this is what we want to be the percentage. But from an ideological point of view, there are ideological definitions of things happening now in Rwanda, Uganda, and all these countries. These third termism, and actually beyond third term, when they then take away the terms all along, are methods of entrenching personal rule, individual rule, family rule, authoritarian, despotic sort of political governance infrastructure on the people, eliminating political opposition, eliminating people of countries to try and have the right to choose leaders that they want. We have seen it in Uganda right now. They're organizing elections supposed to be in February. But if you see what is happening, the sinister way in which the regime of President Museveni is handling these elections. Just today, they almost assassinated one of the leaders, Dr. Kizza Besigye, in the eastern Ugandan part of Sebei. We have seen Mr. Amama Mbabazi, another opposition leader. Since yesterday, the other day, his people are being beaten. They are really facing very hard times. So they are not elections. These are not referendums. These are just sort of fashion shows, political fashion shows, to bring credence to constitutional fraud that they are doing.
So are you in agreement with some who would in fact say that it reminds them of what used to happen in the Soviet Union? And someone called Comrade Joseph Stalin, who used to say that he wasn't really bothered about who was coming to vote for him, but rather about the person, the people that were counting the vote.
Exactly. I would say Museveni is just our mini Stalin, you know, a Stalin of Uganda. For example, he has said many times he's not going to hand over power to people who are sort of political talk agents who didn't fight the war. He fought for it. He's the one supposed to eat the beef of the captured animal from the forest. Now, Stalin is a very good example to explain, because it shows that with these types of dictators, you cannot have elections to take them off power. In Uganda today, there is no way Museveni is going to be taken off through these elections in February. The only way he's going to be taken off is when people, who are now being mobilized very well by people like Kizza Besigye and others, are actually empowered with knowledge that they can change the fate of their country, the destiny of their country, through a Burkina Faso type of popular uprising. And I think that we have seen some soundings that this is going on right now in Uganda. I'm one of those who is very sympathetic to the opposition, the people, anti-regime forces. And we are working together to make sure that this time President Museveni has to understand people are getting ready and they will have to force him off power, because we cannot change peacefully through elections. If he wants to go peacefully, be a gentleman, be a father of the nation, be respected, go back to the farm and look after his cattle, and we'll look after him. Let him realize that he cannot play the same games he has been playing for many years now.
I see. Well, as a journalist, Vincent, I have to confess that I had thought that you were not necessarily sympathetic to the opposition, but perhaps to social justice. With that, let's go to Willis. We'll come back to you later.
You're right. What drives me is social justice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Willis, what about you? You have listened to your two fellow panelists. Your reaction?
Well, Shaka, if we're to have a meaningful conversation here, let's get our facts correct.
Fact
President
one.
Kagame was not behind this referendum. This all began when 3.8 million Rwandans signed a petition and sent it to the Rwandan parliament seeking to amend the constitution. The constitution took up the debate, debated it for 3 days. They could have rejected it or accepted it. Instead, they accepted it. Had they rejected it, we wouldn't be talking about this. The story doesn't end there. This very petition was sent to the Rwanda Supreme Court. to see if it was legally sound. The decision was yes, it is legally sound, so a referendum was held. Now, let me say this. There is nothing sacred about referendums. The best governed nations in the world don't have term limits. Japan has none. Singapore has none. Australia doesn't have one. The UK doesn't have one. So let's disabuse ourselves of this notion that term limits is a sacred cow. If you can reject the decision of 6 million Rwandans to decide where their country is going, then we are really not having a meaningful discussion. After all, the power to govern begins with the consent of the governed. 6 million Rwandans, 80% of the registered voters came forward and said, this is what we want. President Kagame has said it again and again. If the people don't want him, he'll move on. But this is what Rwandans want, and I think Rwandans know what's better for Rwanda. This referendum doesn't need to be validated from Washington, from Paris. Rwanda will move forward and determine what's good for the country. Here is the other argument that I would like to advance. Rwanda is only 21 years old. 21 years ago, when all hell broke loose, the international community stood idly by and watched a million Rwandans die. They didn't do anything. The UN debated ad nauseum whether genocide was taking place or not. Now, who are these people to tell Rwanda what to do when 21 years ago they simply stood there and watched us perish?
Very interesting. Very interesting. Willis, in one of your blogs, you have suggested that Rwanda is a democracy, and that democracy is alive and well, and that it is up to Rwandans who will carve out the destiny of their country. Is that what you said?
That's what I'm saying, and let me make it clear, yes. Rwanda is a very small country. We are landlocked, but we are not small-minded. We have the right to determine the course of our nation. We will determine which government is good for us. We will determine if we want to extend term limits or get rid of them. But we cannot be dictated to from D.C. or from Paris or from London. Absolutely not.
Now, according to Abraham Lincoln, a late great leader of these United States of America, once observed that democracy was a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. There are also others who say that the democracy we see, especially in developing countries, is a government of some people, by some people, and for some people. Where is Sharita? What is your definition of democracy? If you were to talk to me from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your Rwandan heart and soul.
Let me remind you what John Locke, the 18th century English philosopher, credited as one of the fathers of modern democracy. He stated that the right to rule comes from the consent of the governed. How better to say it than 6 million Rwandans come forward and say, we need a referendum and we want to vote yes or no whether term limits should go. If that's not democracy, then I don't know what is.
But what about some who will say, wait a minute, Willis, that was not consent. That was something that came out through intimidation.
If you think President Kagame can intimidate 12 million Rwandans, you are mistaken. The referendum passed by 98.3%. But let me throw this at you. The referendum was even more popular in the diaspora. President Kagame has no control of Rwandans in the U.S., in Canada, in the U.K., yet the referendum got higher marks than it got in Rwanda.
We'll come to that later. Unfortunately, time is not our best ally. You are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment, but first here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the outstanding feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week from a Straight Talk Africa Facebook fan.
Oscar Raxo Kamukama in Verona, Italy writes, I admire President Kagame, but the African dream will only be realized the day individuals realize that the state is bigger than them. Rwandans are having economic growth under Mr. Kagame and will continue to grow under someone else. It's the law, not mortal men, that govern a lasting nation. God bless Africa.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui-Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Thanks, Shaka. President Paul Kagame's recent announcement that he is bowing to the request of Rwandans to seek a third term in office underscores a renewed trend in Africa that has seen presidential term limits come under threat. Although President Kagame also said that while he can only accept the request, he does not want to be an eternal leader. Bringing us to our question of the week, asking, should constitutions be changed to allow African leaders to extend their term in office? Thanks, everyone, for using all our social media platform to communicate to us. A quick reminder that we are tweeting live today. Just use the hashtag VOA Rwanda Referendum. And if you haven't yet, do follow us on Twitter. Well, you had a lot to say on this one. And without further ado, let's go to a tweet from Abel Elibariki in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, who responded, no, because we are violating principles of democracy. And sometimes it may result to insurgency and civil war. We have another tweet from Chambila Moses, I think. The problem, he says, in Africa, the so-called democracy is almost not here. Therefore, political leaders decide what and when. Let's now turn to our Facebook followers. This comment comes from Kapendwe Benson Bualia from Solwezi in Zambia, who writes, no, the constitution should not be changed. I'm happy that here in Zambia, President Edgar Lungu signed the new constitution on January 5th, which still maintains 5 years as one term with a two-term maximum. Long live Zambia. Well, Shaka and guests, your take on these comments.
Very interesting. Robert, first of all, you obviously have listened to your compatriot, with Sherita talking about, yes, maybe the people in Rwanda, there might be a chance they could have been intimidated, but certainly not those in the diaspora, including you. Did you vote? And if you did, how did you vote?
First of all, I wouldn't definitely vote for Mr. Kagame as our leader.
But why didn't you vote? You had an opportunity to vote.
No, I had no opportunity. Actually, I was not allowed to vote because it goes through embassies, which will ask you Rwandan identity cards, which I don't have today because of
the period of time I've been out there. And we had another incident actually in Paris where one of the political leaders, Ishami Nahimana, he tried to go to the embassy to vote and they refused him to vote. And he had everything they needed, but the fact that he's in the opposition, he was denied that. But let me say something about the third term we are talking about. I mean, it's I read the United States statement, and they are talking about third term. Even here, we are still talking about third term, running for a third term. Mm-hmm. But when you bring back what Mr. Kagame said on New Year's message, he made it clear. He said that he was requested to lead after 2017, not to run. But unfortunately, people still think it's just third term. Actually, I've given him a name of 755. Probably even the opposition parties should think about 755, that is up to 2034. But he's already there. He's already after 2017 and he's the president. So the resources, the little resources the country has is going to be spent actually on staged elections again. And the same guy is going to appear. Anyway, remember the first person who actually came up with this idea of him continuing after 2017 is from an opposition party.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, so how would you have opposition party actually telling you to stay on to power? But it's because Kagame owns everything in that country. And he has morally corrupted everybody in that country. He has corrupted all the branches of the government. And his corruption is so smart that even the donors are still using it.
So are you suggesting that as far as his people are concerned, he really doesn't care about that type of legitimacy?
No.
All he cares about are the development partners?
Yes, and, you know, like we said before, the development we talk about in Rwanda, the miracle we talk about in Rwanda, the success story, is it really there? That's what we have to examine.
Because some people, of course, say it is a facade, but others say it is real, it is tangible.
It's a myth. I mean, we talk about the capital city being clean, but on the expense of Rwandans, the street kids, the mentally disturbed, the beggars who are locked out somewhere in the garages. And I was impressed that the Human Rights Watch picked up this story.
Well, Mariama, do you have any more comments to share with the audience, please?
Well, absolutely. Let's go to a comment from Paul Mogar in Nasarawa, Nigeria, who says, yes, the Nigerian constitution should be changed so that one term is 6 or 8 years and not 4. Too much money is wasted conducting elections. Nigerian politicians only spend 2 years working. The next 2 years are spent campaigning for another election. We are in our 17th year of democracy, but we are still hearing words like nascent in Nigeria. It hurts me a lot. Well, I guess he's looking at it from a totally different angle and a pretty, pretty legitimate one. Well, let's look at another Facebook comment, which comes this time from Baraka Sinda of Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, who writes, we are turning back to an absolute monarchy. Constitutions should not be changed to allow African presidents the full of greed of power and the legal authority to rule forever. I hate this. Well, I usually tell my daughter that using the word hate is a very strong word, but I guess some people feel very strongly about the constitutional changes benefiting certain leaders, and this time, understandably, using the word. Shaka and guests.
I can understand, of course, Mariama, the way you feel, especially given that you come from Senegal, where one President Macky Sall has, in fact, even reduced the term limit from 7 to 5, so he can go back home and, in fact, do other things.
Well, this is why I always say, you know, you might want to move to West Africa somewhere. You know, I think there are certain good examples that are happening in certain countries. And it's a good thing, I think, for Africa, not just for Senegal, but any other country that is trying to move forward with democracy in general.
Let me get some advice from the good doctor in London. Dr. Magombe, you obviously have had,
yes,
again, your fellow panelists, but, you know, the democratization process seems to be working rather relatively better in Southern Africa, where you have had previously some attempts by incumbent presidents, one in Zanzibar, in Zambia rather, and Malawi, that is Frederick Chiruba and Bakiri Muluzi, but actually failing to make it. And then when you go to West Africa seems to be on the move. But what's wrong with Central and East Africa, man?
It's the area of ghosts of political indecency. You know, the political indecency that roams in the darkness of the East and Central Africa is beyond recognition, really. Even Africa seems to be moving forward. But this area of ours, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Congo, South Sudan, Sudan, is beyond incredible. So I think that what we will do in this continent, what I would advise the people to do is to stand up and try their best to demand for their rights. If the leaders can't give their rights through elections, if they can't give their rights peacefully, then we have every constitutional rights. Actually, interestingly, the same constitutions, for example, the Constitution of Uganda, tells people that if somebody murders, rapes the constitution of a country, the people should have a right to resist that. And I think that, therefore, constitutionally, the people of Uganda, for example, have a right now to stand up and tell Mr. Museveni, look, you may have special forces commanded by your son, Brigadier Muhoozi. You may now have about 1 million crime preventers, so-called crime preventers, who are actually state militia, paramilitary units, and so on and so on. But you will not be able to kill 500 people on the street of Kampala, and even the world allows you to do it. I mean, what happens in most of these countries, even we saw it in North Africa, is that once the dictator starts murdering people, because President Museveni now must be saying, well, I have the tools to murder people. He says smash them. He talks of smashing them. But what he's forgetting is that once he kills 100, 200 people on the streets of Kampala, the whole world will turn against him. But more so, all Ugandans will have now to get every possible tool that we have, every means possible to try and dislodge him as soon as possible.
Well, in fairness, President Museveni, he has never said that he intends to murder Ugandan people. After all, he says he loves them and they love him so much because, in fact, they have voted for him in the last several elections periodically.
I'm sure Hitler of Germany used to say people in Germany loved him.
Well,
you know, you can't believe any of that word. You know, there are people dying right now as we talk about. People are starting to be killed. People are tortured all over the place. Political leaders are being poisoned in that country. Well, so let him not fool anybody.
Unfortunately, time happens again not to be our best ally. Thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, thanks, Shaka, and thanks all the guests. That will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder, the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Just go to VOA's Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website. If you're on it, you can see me right now. So it's live, it's streaming. We are very serious about it. Or you can just simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now, let's take a look on what's on tap. Let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, U.S. President Barack Obama will deliver his final State of the Union address. We'll discuss his speech, his foreign policy agenda for Africa, and more. That's next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa. Let's now take a quick look at constitutional referendums to watch in 2016. In the Democratic Republic of Congo in January 2015, tentative attempts to overturn the term limit were met with riots. International NGOs urged President Joseph Kabila to publicly commit to stepping down in 2016. Mr. Kabila rose to power in 2001 after his father, Laurent Kabila, was assassinated. He won a second five-year mandate after disputed elections in 2011. He's constitutionally barred from seeking a third term in 2016. The November election of this year could represent the first democratic transition of power after decades of civil war, political instability, and deadly coups. In Benin, President Thomas Yayibuni promised voters and world leaders he would step down when his second term expires in 2016. But doubts over his pledge remain. His plan to reform the constitution would introduce a national electoral commission and state auditor to fight corruption. It has fueled suspicions about the president's real intentions. Benin is one of Africa's strongest democracies, and its constitutional court has ruled that term limits cannot be altered as part of the reforms.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu Yuwat, and welcome back. Today we are talking about the recent passage of a constitutional referendum in Rwanda that will possibly allow Paul Kagame to extend his stay in power to 2034. Major Robert Higiro, retired, a former Rwandan army officer. He currently serves as the Belgium coordinator for democracy in Rwanda now. And joining us from our London studios is Dr. Vincent Magombe, director of Africa Inform International, a global network of African journalists and media practitioners. And last but not least, Willis Sharita, Rwandan-American blogger and activist on Rwandan issues. He joins us via telephone link up from the U.S. city of Austin, Texas. Well, gentlemen, I have to say I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Shaka.
You're most welcome. Now, Willis, let me come to you because really you didn't have a chance to respond to the social media. I know that you are a very well-read man, very highly exposed. I'm sure you know the current longest-serving ruler in Africa, or leader, whose name, of course, is Theodore Obiang Nguema Mbasogo from, guess where, Equatorial Guinea. Is that a country that you consider to be democracy? This is a man who has been in power since August 1979. And the last time I checked, the last vote in 2009, he got 97% of the registered voters.
I wouldn't like to offend Rwandans by comparing our democracy to Equatorial Guinea. But let me say this. If Rwanda was a failed state, we wouldn't be talking about this. But because we have gone against all grains of thought, because we have pulled out of the abyss of the genocide against Tutsi 21 years ago and built the one of the best democracies in Africa, if not the best, the strongest economy in the region, a country that has no corruption to speak of in the civil service, it behooves me to tell people, critics of Rwanda, it's not rocket science that only Rwandans can determine what form of government we're going to have. Secondly, critics of Rwanda, like Robert Higiro, you know, he's entitled to his opinion, but he cannot make facts as we go along. He may not like President Kagame as a man, but he should realize the amazing recovery and development that has gone on in Rwanda. The country is on track to achieving its Vision 2020 goals mm-hmm. of becoming a knowledge-based middle-income country. The life expectancy is twice what it was in 1994. Access to basic amenities such as drinking water, improved sanitation is
yes,
at 80%.
Yes, yes, it is, Sharita, but of course the last time I checked, someone will tell you that things to do with the service delivery, frankly, and respect for fundamental human rights are not mutually exclusive. They're mutually reinforcing. Let me ask you another question. I know you know Uganda very well. What do you consider Uganda to be? You consider Uganda to be democratic under President Yoweri Museveni?
Up to a point.
Up to the point?
Yes.
But it's not as democratic as Rwanda, correct?
I agree with that.
You agree with that. Now, let me tell you something.
I would also remind you to compare service delivery, infrastructure between the two countries, and don't forget that Rwanda's tortured history of 21 years ago is a factor to consider.
Service delivery, no comparison, no comparison. Let me tell you something, Willis. In 2012, Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni himself said that Equatorial Guinea President Teodoro Obiang Nguema Mbagasso was his role model, and that in fact he was so good that he deserved a Ugandan highest award, in Mr. Museveni's words, for promoting democracy in Africa. And that same day, he also gave one of the highest awards to President Paul Kagame. This was 2012, when Teodoro Obiang was the chairman of the African Union.
But again, Shaka, let's consider the fact. Before the referendum, President Kagame had not committed to run again. He has said it again and again. Like I said, if the Rwandan parliament had turned down the petition of 3.8 million Rwandans, this discussion would not be taking place.
Thank you. But unfortunately, time is not our best ally. I have to go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers, Willis.
Thank you.
Good evening, Wani from South Africa. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Dr. Sally. I'm not from South Africa, but from South Sudan.
From South Sudan. Thank you. You know, we stand corrected.
Yes,
we stand corrected. What is your question, sir? You have one minute.
My question is actually, why is it that we keep on just proclaiming the issue of term limit, which is becoming a curse to human rights in Africa? Which is totally, it's, people need to look at their aspect of or leadership, or the greedy for power, which is a total mess in Africa, and we need to change. If it is about democracy, we need to look at exactly what is the context that democracy that we are proclaiming of. Is it a system, a citizen-based, or it's just leadership-based? So these are the things that we need to look at.
Thank
Otherwise,
you.
Really, the common citizens are suffering because of the interests of people who are just wanting to stay on power.
Thank you.
Let's look at what is currently happening in Burundi. It's just because of leadership, which people really have that we are tired of this, and the system has to change. But people don't listen until they want to see people dying, innocent dying, and these are the masters that they're aspiring for. They are not the masters of the people, but people are masters to them.
Thank you,
so
brother.
To respect the voice of the common citizens. Thank you
so much, Professor Sally. You're most welcome. Let's go to Emon from Uganda. Rukunjiri, to be precise. Good evening, Emon.
Good evening, Big Shaka. How are you?
I'm usually terrific. What is your question? You have 1 minute.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about the situation happening in Africa, especially in Rwanda and in Uganda in particular. If you know, as long as there is a situation where there is a dictatorship government, whereby someone actually spends more than 30 years ruling the country, you cannot expect actual democracy to be practiced in that country. What you need to expect, you actually need to expect frankly, a situation where people are suffering of hunger, are suffering of bad government, are suffering.
Thank you. Thank you very much. In fact, President Obama himself has said that even with prosperity, without freedoms, without freedom of expression, freedom of press, freedom of association, it is a form of abject poverty. Let's go to Patrick from Nigeria. Good evening, Patrick. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. You have a minute.
Good evening, Mr. Shaka. Patrick Okora for Farochukwu, Nigeria. My question goes to Mr. Willie, the Rwanda spokesperson. United States of America, European Union, African Union, has agreed to President Kagame to throw in his towel. He refused. What is the brain behind his refusal to obey? Because all this calls to him to throw in his towel is to save lives and property in Rwanda. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Time, unfortunately, happens not to be our best ally. Your final thoughts. What do you think, frankly, is the solution to all this?
I think a little reaction on the callers. So they have interesting points. The problem is not the terms, probably, or hanging on to power. The problem is the kind of society we're using to hang on to power, to change the constitution, to,
The process?
The process, whether we have terms or not.
The by the individuals who present themselves perhaps as God's gifts to their own countries?
Yes. The problem is, do we have a free society? Are we giving people the rights to speak for media? Well, that's what is missing. So the constitutions are done by people, as they say, but are they doing these constitutions, amending these constitutions freely, or they are imposed and intimidated to change in a certain way?
Well, Vincent, you have the last word. 30 seconds, please. 30 seconds.
Like Kagame, Museveni, and others must understand they don't own these countries. They need to give freedom to the people. Hello? You know, this thing about term limits is important, but it's not the most important. Stop aggressing people. Stop being repressive. Stop having all these political prisoners in Rwanda, Uganda, prisons, and so on. Try to allow people to be free so that they can be able to freely choose the leaders they want. At the moment, that freedom is not there.
Thank you.
And so it's not just about term limits. It's more than term limits.
Thank you. Well, on that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Major Robert Higiro, retired, and a former, of course, Rwandan army officer. He currently serves as the Belgium coordinator for democracy in Rwanda. And joining us from our London studios is Dr. Vincent Magombe, Director of Africa Inform International, a global network of African journalists and media practitioners. And last but not least, Willis Sharita, Rwandan American blogger and activist on Rwandan issues. He joins us via telephone link up from the U.S. city of Austin, Texas. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not beta Africa. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.